Welcome to the Sith Justice Warriors podcast with your hosts Jaded Fan and Princess Lupia.
Please be advised, the views expressed on this podcast belong solely to the hosts and not to their employer, organization, committee, or other group or individual. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everyone, it's the Sith Justice Warriors coming at you on our typical weekly podcast that happens to not be on Sunday anymore. With your hosts, Lumpia and Fan. Lumpia, how you doing?
I am good, Fan. How about you?
I'm all right. I'm trying to get sleep when sleep can come. So, that being said, we finally have some time to talk about the latest MCU TV series. I caught up, and Lumpia, take it away with your kickoff.
Yeah, so spoilers ahead, but Loki is now the latest Marvel series that is on Disney Plus, and it is on Wednesdays, which is a nice break from, you know, having to wait for Friday. But to be honest, and in all fairness, it really doesn't matter. So, because at the end of the day, it's kind of like when you can watch it. And so by the time Wednesday gets around, I'm usually busy and I end up watching it Thursday or Friday. So it didn't really matter. But it's just nice to have earlier. So this show is, at least for me, it feels more in the lines of the MCU vein of like the way it's produced, to be honest. Like just the way the feeling of the show, just the way the feeling of the action and the storyline feels like a MCU movie versus like WandaVision, which was so different, like in the sense that it was literally more like psychological, like grief. It was about grief. And then you had Falcon Winter Soldier, which also felt like an MCU movie, like a Captain America like ish kind of thing, but had a lot of social connotations. This one, at least, this entry into the foray, I don't get that much from it. But I do get, like, that it's in this sort of vein of, like, Thor slash, like, you're dealing with the TVA, which is the Time Variance Authority. I really enjoyed the description by that little cartoon character, Miss something, what was it, Miss Minutes? And, like, it's just interesting because it kind of sets the stage without spending too much time on it. The first episode was really about kind of setting the stage. Like, you pick up right where you left off from Avengers, where, you know, the Tesseract, like, was Loki basically takes the Tesseract. And what happens to him after he kind of teleports out of that situation with it. And what's interesting is that, like, you know, it just literally dives into the TVA and the explanation of what he is. He's a variant. And they go into, like, what exactly is the time stream and how did it come to be and why Loki is a variant. And it's interesting because, like, these random acts of time creates a lot of impact to the universe. And the timekeepers, these three people who we don't know much about other than what they look like, they are the ones who kind of combined all the timelines into one main timeline. So if you think of Earth 616 or whatever, and any variant is supposedly dealt with, so either they're reset or erased. So you have Loki here who you have to actually put yourself in his shoes. He's a variant of Loki that doesn't realize what happens to him after that moment. That's the first Avengers movie, right? So he has no idea that he kills Coulson. He killed Coulson. He has no idea what happens after that movie. He has no idea about Ragnarok, what happens in Ragnarok. He has no idea about what happens in the final installment of the Avengers, and then he dies and his neck gets cracked by Thanos. And that he has no idea even what happened to his mother. And that how she died, and she died because, and I didn't realize this, he actually sent the guy to that room, like the people to that room. And so, he had a really interesting relationship, as twisted as it was, he had a really interesting relationship with his mother. He is approached by Owen Wilson's character, who is Mobius, and it's interesting because he's an analyst, but he's like more or less a field analyst because he's actually in the field. And this show has really cool, like, retro vibes to it. The office, the technology at the TVA is so dated, like the clickety-clack keyboards they use, like, of back in the day. The TVs, for instance, are like, they look like they're from the 50s. It almost feels like Men in Black, but like when they first started. But this retro sort of interesting feel. You're also introduced to, what's her name? Ravenna? I forget what her name is. But basically the lady who's running the TVA, because the three heads of it, the timekeepers, are nowhere to be found. They're like off trying to keep track of time, from what I understand. So it basically follows the adventures of Loki. He ends up signing up to help. He ends up signing up to help Owen Wilson find a variant that's causing a lot of problems in their, like, at the TVA. He's actually basically, this person is actually either killing people or like taking a lot of the TVA's products. They have this thing that resets, it's like a charge, resets the time stream. Or these little, like, I don't know, they look like iPads that you wear on your wrist that help you basically take yourself out of the time stream and into the time stream, or where the variance occurs. So, like, either way, he decides to help because I think he realizes that there are a couple of funny moments where he keeps trying to steal the Tesseract, but magic doesn't work at the TVA, and the Tesseract does not work. He even sees, like, multiple iterations of the Time Stones, because if you think about it, how many times were they stolen in different variations of that moment? And so, just funny because one of the analysts is like, oh my god, we use these as paperweights. And he just comes, Loki just comes to this realization that, like, oh my gosh, like, this is the higher power. This is the most powerful thing, and I have to have it. So I think underneath it all, he's doing all of this for the end game. And the end game to him is to control time. And so what we find out really in episode 2 is that the person who is causing all this commotion is none other than a variant of Loki. It happens to be Lady Loki, a female version of him, because as they explained in the first episode, Loki has shown up multiple times as a variant. He's shown up as a monster-looking thing, blue. He's shown up as a soccer player. He's shown up as multiple iterations of this person that he is. But in each of them, I think he maintains his powers. Anyway, what's interesting is that this Loki, this version of Loki, we don't know what motivates her yet, this Lady Loki. But we do know that she's jumping into moments of time where catastrophic events are and changes moments in those times just hides there. Because at the end of the day, she'll never create a variation as long as she doesn't stop the catastrophic event from happening. So for example, one example was they jumped into Pompeii and Loki told all the people in Pompeii that they were from the future. They got to run and hide because they're going to die. And well, as you all know, the volcano erupted and killed the whole city. And nobody survived. And nothing happened to the time stream. No variation occurred. It didn't split into multiple pieces. And that's because at the end of the day, that catastrophic event happened. Nobody survived as it was planned. And that is it. So again, it's interesting to have them set the stage, I think, at least what it means to me, is setting the stage for Quantumania, which we know is the Ant-Man 3 movie, which I think is already done filming or started. The Doctor Strange movie, which we all know has to do with the multiverse. What does this all mean, and what does it all mean for Kang? Kang is confirmed in the Quantumania as one of the villains. We all know that he controls time in the comic books. It looks like he's one of the timekeepers, and rightfully should be, but it was never confirmed. They were just always called the timekeepers. And what people are suggesting is that the reason why Kang wants to control the quantum verse in Ant-Man is because basically he can control time that way as a loophole to this whole time stream thing. Because as a timekeeper, he's supposed to protect the time stream, not destroy it. But let's say he wanted to control time. He would use this quantum realm sort of thing. So his loophole is what I think that movie will be based on, but I'm not sure. What does this mean for the multiverse? I'm not sure either, because we all know Wanda's involved in there. I don't believe Loki or Tom Hiddleston was confirmed for that movie. But what does this all kind of mean is like the bigger picture. I'm not going to read too much into it, like, you know, Evan Peters cameo, but at least it's expanding the known universe. It's bringing in this whole, the rules of time, if you will, because this actually brought up something for me that was interesting, which was the whole Captain America thing. It still bothers me to this day, because in essence, two of them existed at one point, the frozen one and the one that was with Peggy Carter, who ended up being the old man who gave the shield to Sam. So if that was all meant to happen in the main time stream, I don't know. It boggles my mind, because like I said, the Russos weighed in on it. The writers weighed in on it. But in essence, there were two Captain Americas always existing, is what it means to me. But I digress. So anyway, what were your thoughts, fan? And I mean, where do you think that this is going? Do you see any loop? Do you see any, like, I don't know, holes in the plot line? Do you see anything they could build on?
I think they're trying to. I feel like they're trying to get the wheels out of the, like, if it was like stuck in snow or stuck in mud, they're kind of lurching a little bit forward, but they're kind of spinning the wheels. I guess I'm not following all of the interconnectivity outside of the fact that it's Loki going through different, you know, possibilities and variances and all that stuff. It's funny, like, the way I think of the series is I really love what, you know, Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson's interaction and play on each other. I'm interested to see if Loki can pull it off, because he's one of the bad guys that you just like to root for.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if I really care. Because didn't Kevin Feige said that you didn't really need to watch these things to get through the movies, like the next set of movies?
Yeah, because I think the next set of movies have nothing to do with these. Like, you kind of saw, like, the next set will be Black Widow, and Feige actually made a statement, you're going to see more prequels. So this is the route they're going. And we all know it's Eternals, it's Shang-Chi, it's the Quantumania, it's the That's the only linkage I could see it being, because Kang is confirmed in that movie. And he is a timekeeper. The question is, he doesn't show up in this movie, then it has no linkage whatsoever. But
that lies the problem, right? I feel like, whereas at the very least I could say that the Falcon Winter Soldier actually set up the idea that Falcon is Captain America. I mean, there is something to put on top of the foundation. I just hope there's some kind of payoff, because outside of trying to replace male Loki with female Loki, I'm worried that we're getting into the Star Wars formula of let us like characters that we're really not going to care about, like how WandaVision happened, you know?
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. But I wonder if, like I said, for me at least, this explains the rules of the game. This is the rules of time. This is the rules of the game. So at least for me, that's the way I kind of interpret a lot of this. I really think then that's a waste of Tom Hiddleston as an actor, if literally that's, you know, if literally that's, you know, the case. Like, if they're just going to throw him away. I do wonder what the end game is for him, because he's the variant, the real, if you will, Loki, the one who existed in the true timeline, died. But, you know, what can you do? Like, what can you do if that's his end game, and what happens to this one after he solves the puzzle? You know?
Well, I mean, again, this is the same parent company that made us care about all those characters in Star Wars, and they really just were there for 2 seconds. Again, I'm being a little bit skeptical here, but it's not bad. If this show is just about, if you took away all the other side characters and all of the, how do I say this, all of the posturing of these side characters of trying to be important, like, it would actually be better, but I don't know. I'll watch it still, but you know what I mean? I'm not sold on it yet.
Yeah. And maybe that's what's starting to show, is that, like, people are, like, not running to watch the Disney Plus, but running to the theaters. I don't know. Theaters are reopening. AMC is offering unlimited popcorn during, like, their cinema week. So we'll see. I mean, Black Widow's out. F9 is out. Jurassic World Dominion's trailer. So I feel like we're starting to see things pick up. What'll be a good read will be the Black Widow, like how it does theatrically, because like I said, In the Heights, I still haven't watched it on HBO Max, but like I heard it was a pretty dismal opening, but it was still like, there was a lot more going on with that. But
yeah.
for the most part, like I heard it wasn't as, you know, as what they would have expected. But again, are all the theaters open? Probably not. So, you know, that's just something to consider. I mean, Luca was also on Disney Plus, but again, and Cruella, but I'm not paying $29.99 for that. So sorry, guys. It's going to be interesting, but this could be the flaw in the streaming, that the streaming service piece that is going to be, I don't know, for me, the question of sustainability. These are, I consider these actors really good actors to be just, you know, in a, I don't think this is, you would call this TV series, but in a streaming only show. So it would be a waste, especially since a lot of them are used to being in like feature films. So yeah, but I guess for me, it all comes down to what's the end game of this show? Because I think it's 10 episodes. Because you have to wonder what happens, like exactly what you said. We're already invested in this person. I like Tom Hiddleston's Loki. And I think that like he really shines in this standalone. They could have made it a film. But and then Owen Wilson's character even. So like gotta wonder like if that's sustainable, like, you know, and to your point, I don't know if Feige ordered a second batch of Loki. Like, that's the problem. Like, you have a point with Captain America being set up to be Sam. But what happens, like what happens later? Like, what happens with this Loki, like, show? So,
yeah. Can you imagine that they make you care? And then they make Loki go away because he shouldn't be here. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, if you're gonna, like, I'm already invested in this one. And we know the other one died. So why would you take him away from me? Unless this one ends up living and somehow appears in Thor, like, Love and Thunder, which I doubt. Because it's already jam-packed with, like, Russell Crowe and Christian Bale and Natalie Portman and whoever else is in it. Everyone and their mother is in that movie. So it's like, and that one finished filming too. So, like, I feel like that they can't, I don't know, I'll be upset if they take him away, especially when they just brought him back. But, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about the acting? Like, how do you feel about, we know we love Loki, but like, what do you think about Wilson, these characters whose names I really don't know?
Yeah, well, Ravana is Gugu Mbatha, and she was in a lot of, she's actually in a lot of shows that I watch. And there's another woman that's also in it. But I think they're fine. Like, she actually, Ravana is like actually linked to Kang somehow. She's actually, I think, royalty, or like she's an important person in the galactic universe. So, who has a history with Kang? So she's not a person, like, he actually made a comment like that he's always staring up at her because she sits at this high desk. And that's because, like, Owen Wilson's character made that comment, and that's because she's actually like royalty or something to that effect, where you have to, like, you know, you actually are looking at her from below. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like the acting is fine. Like, I really enjoyed Owen Wilson. I had doubts about Owen Wilson, but I like him as the analyst that he is. It's interesting though, because the analysts, it feels like, don't really have as much power when it comes to the field missions. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but the one woman was like, this is my op, you have to listen to me, it's my rules. And it's like, it's interesting because I'm like, here Owen Wilson is, like, they literally are archaic in the sense that everything they have in terms of records is on paper. It is not, it's literally truly a hall of records, like, on paper, not in, like, not even in microfiche, or not even in, like, a computer. The data that they're looking at, the times that they're looking at, they had to, like, sift through pages of things. And so I just thought that was interesting. But no, I liked Owen Wilson. I had my doubts, like I said, of how he would play this character, because I only know Owen Wilson as a funny person. So I think it's fine. And I think Tom Hiddleston actually shines in this. Like, I liked the moment when he realized what kind of life he led, and especially that scene where he found out about his mother dying. that was just interesting. You could like kind of see it on his face and feel his regret, if you will.
Yeah, when he saw the Ragnarok happened.
Yes, exactly.
Kind of teared up.
Yeah, and I feel like his acting kind of shows a lot more in this because he's in most of the scenes. And I like that they kept him as a trickster. They kept, it's like one of those things, like he said, I think in the show, there are good people, there are bad people who could be good and good people who could be bad. So like, it's interesting that he says that because he is like, they do set him up as an anti-hero. He's still someone you can't trust because you know there's an end game for him. But the question then becomes what redeems him? Because this is his redemption story in a weird way. Because I don't know that he got that redemption arc by just standing up to Thanos and like getting his neck broken. I don't consider that a redemption arc at all. What would be interesting is to see what Lady Loki wants, because at the end of the day, she even said, don't call me that. Like, don't call me Loki. Like, so I call her Lady Loki. But it's interesting because everyone thought that the blonde sitting on that planet that Natasha died, what was it called? In Guardians of the Galaxy or in Avengers. Everyone thought that it was Black Widow because he was sitting with a blonde person and on this planet. And it's most likely now Lady Loki that he was sitting with. Vormir, wasn't it? That was the planet that she died on. So the question is she after the Soul Stone or something, and why? Or is she after, what is she after? And how does it link up with Loki? Because he even said we could work together and try, and she's like, I know you want like pretty much to harness the power of time, but here she is. She's like, she did not want that. So what is her end goal and how does it play into this? And at the end of the day, are we left with her as Loki? I don't know. So, yeah, just interesting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know if it's the actors, I think more it's the writing and the directing that it came off to me like you have this great play between Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston, right? The two characters that they play. And then you're interjected with characters that honestly, it just feels like the writing tries to overplay or overcompensate this, like a lot of the character who's the leader of the field op, she just yells.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got, I'll never forget the first scenes of the second episode where this tiny, diminutive woman is beating the living crap out of everybody. And then obviously, you know, the head director or whatever she is, like she was just yelling at, was it Mobius?
Mobius.
Yeah. And I was just like, I guess it's because she's the head, but it just came off to me as like, is the director or the writer basically making every woman like mean or obnoxious? Like, it's kind of weird, right? Like, I just, again, in this world where they really jammed it in our faces, I kind of felt like they did a disservice because, like, that's the impression I get. All they do is just yell or they're just overpowered. Now, like, obviously, female Loki is fine. She's like a version of Loki, right? But it's kind of hard. Like, it was just so jarring to see that very small woman just like, and I know they had equal armor, but like bigger guys than her, she just kind of talked around.
She did. It was like crazy.
It's
like on roids.
For some reason that the directors in like Iron Man 2 can make it believable for me that Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow can do it. So I'm thinking they could do that better with this one. I'm just hoping that, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, can you give me characters that I care about more than just the two? Because, I don't know, I just don't care about the other characters. Like, I didn't care that the woman, they found her and she had this mental breakdown. I was just like, can you please leave her be? I just want to see what happens to Loki. I'm sorry. Like, I have to just say, like, it's starting to get so... It's kind of like how I'm afraid of Shang-Chi, where we're going to get so much Awkwafina dialed up to 10.
Well, hopefully they pick that out, because, like, you know, they have people testing reactions and stuff like that for these films, so let's hope they figure that out. Let me put it that way.
I mean, they haven't figured that out for many things, but I mean, I just hope they don't use the Star Wars testers.
Oh, God. Because
God helps with that. But yeah, I still watch it. I'm just looking for something to hook me, something big to say, yes, there is a grander scheme that I need to see this with. So, I have a different view than you on this one, but it's fine. We'll plug through this one. But I swear to God, if Ms. Marvel becomes such a drag on episode one, you're on your own.
Oh my God! You said you weren't going to watch it, and I said you didn't have to watch it, so it's okay.
No, I think I'd watch an episode one. I just hope that she is as great of a character as Peter Parker, Spider-Man, because that's what I'm being told.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
But moving on, we got a couple minutes. We finally, after many weeks of hiatus, we are back on Destiny.
Woo!
Season of the Splicer. Lumpia, what do you think?
Okay, so I will say the pros and cons. The pros are, I thought the baby fall-ins were so cute. And the cons are the fact that there are no Cabal, but that's okay. But no, seriously, in all honestly, I missed the Cabal. That's what I think I enjoyed about the Hammer Quest and season of the, what was that season called?
The Chosen.
But I don't mind the season of the Splicer as much at this point that we're in, only because we haven't really gone further than anything else. But from what I've seen, it will be interesting to see how this, isn't it a gauntlet? What are we? It's a gauntlet, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see, like, what I'm getting a sense of is that these seasons that are coming after Season of the Chosen, literally, like, they're the same. Like, you're in a player team. So the thing is, with this one, you're in a 6-player team versus 3. So I feel like, and I think I said it the other day when we were playing, it almost feels like it's not as hard as Season of the Chosen, although we were having so much fun killing the Cabal. But, like, it's not as hard because you have 6 people now at trying to achieve the end goal. And it's very similar to Season of the Chosen in that you're dropped into a zone on a planet and you have to basically kill your way through till you solve the puzzle or till you kill, like, at least with the Cabal, it was till you kill the last Cabal. This one, though, that one we were just in, it felt like you had to solve the puzzle first. Like, you actually had to, shoot something specific. So it felt interesting. And then it was interesting too, like, it was kind of like those motes, the gambits, where you could jump in and be teleported into the Vex like world. So it was like very Tron like, honestly, like the Vex world, and like you could kill the Vex from there and then be teleported back out. So
It is interesting in that sense. I want to see what other exotics and what cool things we can get from it. That's what I'm more curious about. And like I said, from the you know, hour or so that I've played of it, I would like to see a little bit more than
Lumpia, are you still there? I think I lost you. Nothing like technical difficulties. So while Lumpia comes back, I think what I'm going to do is give my thoughts on Season of the Splicer. I think it's fine. Not really a fan of Vex. They tend to annoy me, but that being said, the actual setup of you've got waves, you've got to then hack, and then you then have to do a little bit of parkour to get back.
I am back. My bad. Internet.
Yes, you're back.
It's really bad. So what were your thoughts? Because I probably rambled on when it disconnected.
I was just saying, like, I like the setup of the parkour, jumping around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty, I think that feels a little bit different versus all the other ones where it's just waves after waves after waves. I still like Chosen better, but at least they left that activity in there. So
yeah,
whenever we're bored, we could just go and kill some hippos and call it a day.
Exactly.
So I think I think this is pretty good. I just want to know what Witch Queen, like, how is this all going to lead to Witch Queen? Because, they, you know, there's a kind of a little bit of a hype that there's rumors we're going to London or Chicago, and, you know, the Witch Queen's going to do her thing, and it's going to lead to, I guess, the...
Which I've never been.
Nah, it's never been, like, yeah, it's never been a world you could go to. I'm actually surprised they didn't bring back Venus, because Venus is technically back because the Vault of Glass is in Venus, but I'm surprised they didn't bring that.
Well, that's back. Another one that I've got to, like, the Vault of Glass would be so cool to do, but I need 6 people, yeah. And I don't have 6 people.
That, exactly. So hopefully they could do some matchmaking. That'd be kind of cool. But that being said, I think we'll call it a day, so... With that said, thank you for joining us. Please like, comment, and subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications for our future content. We are also on Twitter at JusticeSith, and we're looking to hear from you. Till then, see you on the Sith side.
Yeah.